Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. This is the Tuesday of the third week of Easter. Celebrate with the church. Easter wasn't just one day. Easter wasn't and is not just one event. Easter is eternal. And there's a particular way that the church gives us 50 days of celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we don't say, well, it's the third week after Easter. We say it's the third week of Easter because we celebrate all of this. I really want to encourage you, think with the church, because you'll enter into a rhythm, into a pattern of celebration and rejoicing, into a pattern of mourning and repentance and back to resurrection. You will enter into a whole life cycle, so to speak, of the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Christ and what that means for us. So this is the third week of Easter. Let us rejoice and be glad because Jesus triumphed over death. He triumphed over death for us, and he triumphs over our deaths of our human bodies. Put your trust in him. Rely on him. Bear your crosses with him. Rejoice with him. Do everything with him, not apart from him. So the first reading today is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7. But before I read that, let me just say that today is the feast of St. Athanasius. And St. Athanasius, in many ways, laid down his life that the truth might be proclaimed in the Council of Nicaea in 325. It was a council that condemned the Arian heresy and taught that Jesus is consubstantial with the Father. He is one being, one flesh with the Father. After attending the council as a secretary, Athanasius became bishop of Alexandria and the preeminent defender of the Orthodox teaching. Meanwhile, Arius, with the help of powerful political allies, staged a comeback. Athanasius became the main target of the Arians. He fled his diocese five times in fear of his life. In exile, he passionately defended Nicaea and spread the ideal of monasticism through his writings. And he finally returned to serve the people of Alexandria, where he died in 373. Think of the people who have gone before us, who've laid down their lives that we might know the truth. May we rejoice in the truth. It's the opening prayer is, Almighty ever-living God, who raised up the bishop, St. Athanasius, as an outstanding champion of your son's divinity, his divinity, mercifully grant that rejoicing in his teaching and his protection, we may never cease to grow in knowledge and love of you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. And now we come to what I said a few moments ago, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, verses 51 through chapter 8, verse 1. Stephen said to the people, the elders and the scribes, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always oppose the Holy Spirit. You are just like your ancestors. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They put to death those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You received the law as transmitted by angels, but you did not observe it." When they heard this, they were infuriated and they ground their teeth at him. But Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and Stephen said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out in a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed upon him together. They threw him out of the city and began to stone him. The witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep. Lord, do not hold. He's being stoned to death. And Stephen says, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." I'm going to say much more on forgiveness because I see it as one of the most major of the stumbling blocks to union with God that God wants for us. Union with Him, with the source of all love and all beauty and all truth. And many times forgiveness can harden in our hearts and keep us from the truth. I'm going to be saying more about that in future programs, but for now, look at that. Stephen, while being stoned, while being murdered, is crying out that God would forgive those who are killing him. Now, there's a final sentence in this section. Now, Saul was consenting to his execution. Saul consented to it. Saul had not yet become Paul. Saul was consenting to his execution. Think about that, just that one sentence. What a statement. What a burden to carry when he came to the truth, except that Jesus made very clear how much he had forgiven him. Forgiveness is key, brothers and sisters, to life with God. Psalm 31, "Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit." That's exactly what Stephen had done. He gave his life over to the Lord, totally over to the Lord. "Be my rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. You are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead and guide me. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You will redeem me, O Lord, O faithful God. My trust is in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad of your mercy. Let your face shine upon your servants. Save me in your kindness. You hide them in the shelter of your presence from the plottings of men." How God protects us, how God defends us. And even for those who die martyrs for his sake, he is there and receives them. We are never alone, brothers and sisters, no matter what we have to endure. It's not a false hope. It's a reality. He is always with us. Put your trust in him. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 30 to 35. The crowd said to Jesus, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you?" In other words, prove it to us. Do some kind of miracle so we know that you're a God, or some form of that. "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, so he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always. If we can always have bread, give it to us." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." So what is the Lord doing here? The people are looking for something tangible. Give us this bread. Give us an endless supply of bread. And then maybe we'll believe you. But Jesus is saying to them, "I'm the bread. You want to feed on me. You want to be nourished in me. Not elsewhere." How many times, brothers and sisters, do we, in a symbolic sense, look for food and drink apart from God? We want something quick. Something that will satisfy, something that will take away the pain, something that will do this or do that. something that will drug us in a sense so that we don't have to deal with the painful things in our lives. We look for some kind of satisfaction everywhere, but Jesus is saying that it's my Father who gives you the bread, the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. In other words, himself. I am the bread of life. He who eats me will never be hungry. Do you really look for your nourishment, especially in mind and spirit? Do you look for your nourishment in the bread of life, in the Eucharist? Do you look for nourishment in his word? Do you really? Or do you try and just immediately satisfy the hunger in you? Now, for many people, we try to satisfy that hunger in food or drink, when in reality, it's a hunger for God that only God can satisfy. And that's why Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am your food. Come to me. You think of all the people who search for satisfaction, who search for peace, and how many of them are kind of imprisoned in that need, and they keep looking for it in food or drink, and it won't satisfy. Because the hunger is deeper than the physical hunger. The disciples said to Jesus, Sir, give us this bread always. And this is also the crowd, not just the disciples, but the crowd. Sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. And it's not just believe in my words, believe in me. Believe that I am who I said I am, who I say I am. I am the bread of life. I am the Savior of the world. I am the Son of the Father. I am your way to salvation. Those are not just pious words. Those are realities. Do you believe? Think back, and I encourage you, go back many times to the Easter readings and look at the confusion and the bewilderment and the mourning and the grieving because they thought he was dead, yet he had told them he would rise. But they couldn't comprehend it, and they couldn't put it together because that would be a miracle beyond all miracles, and they just didn't believe that it was possible or even not only not possible, but they couldn't even fathom something like that. And so their hearts weren't open to receive because they were still working this out so much from a human framework. The Holy Spirit wants to give us eyes to see from God's point of view. He wants to be your life and your salvation. Open your heart to receive that. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD from Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.